Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. We are doing a teaching here at High Point, if you're visiting with us today, on the subject of stress out, which is not your invitation to go get stressed out and add a bunch of cares to your plate, but it's a way of us learning how to get the stress out of our life and how to keep it out. Because if you haven't noticed by now, stress is a real problem in the body of Christ as well as in the world. Too many Christians are carrying around cares that the Lord said that they're supposed to be casting over on Him. And we found out that stress is actually a result of carrying cares. Therefore, it's a result of disobedience, essentially. Amen? So what that means is that if I'm casting my cares over on the Lord, if I am not worrying about anything, being anxious for nothing, then stress will never be a problem in my life. Because stress only comes as a result of having those cares in my life. And, you know, people will hear that and they'll say things to the effect of, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. And that's just impossible and all these different things. So why would you tell me not to do all those things? Well, first of all, it's not Pastor Trey telling you this. We've gone through plenty of scriptures saying that the Lord says this to you and I. Amen? So don't stone me. Glory to God. Jesus is the one that gave us a lot of these words. So evidently He thinks you're more capable of doing things than you think you are. Amen? And the truth is, you know, I've used this example before, that if we are incentivized the most, or enough, we would keep our minds clear from cares. Amen? You know, I've used an example before about an individual, and I went to him one time, and he said, well, I can never stop caring. I can never stop worrying. I can't keep all these things from coming into my heart and mind. I said, oh, really? What if I were to promise you $1 million would be in your bank account by the end of the week if somehow I could monitor what was in your mind and you did not meditate on any of those things for more than a minute? Guess what? If you believe that I would put that money in your account, you would keep yourself free from cares, amen. You'd find out somehow, supernaturally, you'd be able to cast those cares. So what we need to be is motivated by what the Lord told us, amen. And so when He tells us something is available to us like this, amen, that's the way I'm living my life. Therefore, we should be treating this admonition, this instruction to not worry and be anxious for nothing like we would do not murder, do not commit adultery. And you know why? Because it has just as many negative effects as some of those other sins do. Amen? It's the reason why so many people are sick, busted, and disgusted in their life is because of the stress they carry. So we need to actually pay a little more reverence to this, knowing that when the Lord tells us something, amen, He's telling it for our benefit. Everything God says is for you. Amen? When He tells you to quit doing this, lay this thing down, it's for your benefit. It's so that your life would be better. Amen? Because He's love, and love is always thinking about the other person. So while it seems like something's being stripped from us, something's too difficult, you know, I'm sure my son thinks that a lot of times. Because I'll tell Levi, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And boy, he doesn't like it. You know, it was like, what did he say the other day? He was talking about how he didn't like school. All right? And I said, and Shannon told him and said, well, sweetheart, none of us really liked school, except you nerds out there. Y'all probably like school. But we didn't like school, you know? But guess what? It's beneficial. You need it. And sometimes there's things that you are having to do in your life because it's better for you when you do it. Amen? And some of those things are listed here in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus gives us some very clear, precise instructions so that we can live in this stress-free, restful place. Let's look at it together. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus, red letters, right? You got a red letter Bible? Is this in red letters? So these are the words of the Master. True, right? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what we looked at last week, we began looking at this passage of Scripture in more detail. And we spent some time talking about who this was addressed to. Jesus said, going back to verse 28, this is for everyone who, what? Labors and is heavy laden. Now, we looked up the word labor, and we found out it describes the feelings of fatigue that come as a result of the hard work one is doing. Okay, so this can be talking about physical labor. If you're digging ditches for a living, hey, guess what? There's going to be some physical fatigue that comes as a result of that kind of laboring. But what we also found out is there's also a laboring that can take place in us that's not just physical. It's mental and it's emotional. And I've come to find out that when I am laboring upstairs like that, it actually makes me feel more tired than if I were to go out and do a bunch of yard work all day. Right? Because why? There's multiple kinds of laboring that one can do. And what this is describing is not the good kind of labor. There's actually good kind of hard work out there. There's actually a kind of working for the Lord that He's actually told us to do, to labor in love one towards another. But obviously what Jesus is describing here is not the good kind of laboring. He's not talking about the work we do for Him. He's talking about the work we're doing without Him. Which can even be good things, right? And how many of you come to find this out in your life, that even the good things that we do in life and the things we add to our plate that are not sinful, they're not wrong, sometimes we can be doing those things apart from the Lord. Not that He's not present with us, He's not at our side, but we're not depending on Him to give us the strength to do that. That's when we begin getting fatigued. That's when the stress enters in. And then he goes on to describe not only those who labor, but those who are heavy laden, which describes those who have taken on burdens in their life. All right? Now, these are not the loads. We looked at Galatians chapter 6 last week and found out that there is a load we're all to carry, which is our own personal knapsack. You know, what's our responsibility for carrying on our own? But there are a lot of times things that are added to our plate that are burdening us, and they're not the Lord's plan for us. So if we're having our plate too full, then what is the natural spiritual assumption we can make there? If our plate is too full and we're getting stressed out as a result of things, either A, we're doing the things the Lord told us to do in our own strength, or B, we're doing things the Lord never told us to do. And how many of you know there's a lot of good things we do in our life that are even in the Bible that the Lord might not have told us to do personally? Now, you get a reaction like that usually when you say that, because everybody thinks, oh no, everything I do for the Lord is always good and always timely. Not necessarily. You understand we're a body. And the responsibility of my right arm is not the same responsibility as my left leg. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean the left leg's supposed to be doing everything, right? If I just went around and doing everything and I'm trying to write with my left foot and all this kind of stuff, guess what? I'm going to be fatigued. I'm going to be stressed out. But if we learn to work together like a body is meant to function, amen, doing our part. And see, here's the real problem. Many people in the body of Christ are not doing their part. You got 10% in the body of Christ that are doing 90% of the work. And it shouldn't be that way. And the reason why that happens a lot is because not everybody has found their place and doing what God's called them to do. Therefore, we got these certain people that are being stressed out. So my point in this is the Lord told every person that labors and is heavy laden like this to do what? Come to me. See, that is the solution. And what this teaches me, again, very literal, I look at this and I'm like, so if I am feeling fatigued and weary and burdened, what does that teach me? I must not have come to Him. Right? Because why? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if I don't have this rest, spiritually and physically, in my heart and in my mind, somehow, some way, I probably have not come to Him the way that I should. Now, when we're talking about coming to Him, we're not talking about salvation necessarily. I would assume that most of us in here are saved and born again. But how many of you know there's a big difference between people who are saved and people who are walking in everything God said is ours? Very few, precious little, actually are experiencing all these things. But again, this is what Jesus told us to do. if you come to him. And we found out the word come is the Greek word diute, which I found out is our Christian duty to come to him. Amen? Which is what? Relationship is what it's all about. Like Shannon was exhorting us with this morning, having personal relationship with the Lord daily, weekly, annually, all the time. Our connection is with him. We've turned our attention to him. Our proximity is now close to him. And when we're living in this relationship with the Lord, now we're taking on his yoke, which enables us to do everything that we do for him in his strength as opposed to our strength. That's the way we're supposed to be living. But so many Christians don't know anything about relationship with God, and they base their relationship with him on what they do for him. And what's that going to lead to? Stress. It's going to lead to weariness, hard work, and why am I doing all this? Which is interesting because the word that's used for heavy laden there, it's only used one other time in the New Testament. And it was used to describe the religious leaders when Jesus corrected them. He admonished them by saying, you add burdens to the people that you won't even help lift with one of your little fingers. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the law. He's talking about saying, you need to do this and you need to do that, but you're not actually helping people enter into the place to where they're actually going to experience the grace for what God expects out of us. Amen? That's why we make a big priority here at this church to point you to spending time with the Lord, to draw near to him, to have relationship to him. And when you have a need, don't call somebody, don't run to the phone, run to the throne. Amen? Go to God and have that personal relationship where you're dependent on him, you're connecting, you're abiding in the vine, which is where the fruit comes in our life. Amen? But I want you to notice from the scripture what the promise is to those who perform this Christian duty in their life. For all those who labor and are heavy laden, when they come to him in that correct way, notice what Jesus said, and I will give you rest. How many of you could use a little more of this rest in your life? Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you today, it is available for every single one of us, every day, all the time. Amen. But I want you to notice here, he said, I will give you rest, but let's continue reading because I want you to notice how he mentions this word again. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So I want you to notice in the verse before he said, when you come to me, I'll give you rest. And here he says, when you take my yoke upon you, you will find rest. I'm here to tell you there's two different kinds of rest in our life. There's the rest that is given, but then there's the rest that is found. And there's a big difference. Many of us in here have experienced the rest that was given. And what is that? When we came to the end of ourself, maybe we were burdened with sin, like in The Pilgrim's Progress, if y'all ever read that book or seen the movie, the guy's carrying around this huge load. And he's got this journey toward the cross. And then when he turned and looked at Jesus and cast all of the weight of his sin over on the Lord, guess what? There was an immediate rest that was given to that man by the grace of God. All of us, hopefully, in here have experienced that before. But again, there's a difference between the rest we experience at salvation and the rest that we work out of our salvation. We end up finding it in our life. That's what I want to help you to discover today. Interesting. Go over to Psalm 23. How many of you got something underlined or highlighted in the 23rd Psalm? Some of you that's new to our church might not know this, but you would think Psalm 23 is just what pastors read at funerals. How many of you know that's not true? If you've been coming to our church, you heard Pastor Trey teach on the 23rd Psalm for weeks and months, and we found out this isn't a funeral psalm. This is a life psalm. This is what the Lord said is for us in our life. Amen. Let's look at it. Psalm 23, David was declaring here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of those verses in this awesome psalm are what God has intended for all of His sheep, for all of His children to walk in their life now. Again, it's not a death psalm, it's a life psalm. And you know how we know this? Because notice a couple of things that are listed in the 23rd psalm. Number one, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If this is talking about heaven, when would you and I ever be walking through a valley of the shadow of death? We've already done that. Amen? And we're in heaven. So guess what? This is not talking about heaven. Nor will we be feasting in the presence of our enemies when we're in heaven, because your enemies ain't going to be there. So this must be talking about not the sweet by and by, but the rotten here and now. Amen? But what I want you to notice is, in the midst of all these exceedingly great and precious promises, what was the initial thing David said is available for the believer? Again, in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But notice verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now I want to emphasize some words that are in this particular verse, because boy, it's significant to us. The phrase makes me to lie down all comes from one Hebrew word. And it literally means, listen to this, to stretch oneself out and to lie stretched out. Thus the reason this word is translated to couch multiple times in the Old Testament. Because why? It gives the impression of what we do a lot of times with our couches at home. It's to lie down on and stretch out. Hallelujah. So it describes, listen to this, reclining, to take a load off, to rest and relax. Maybe you could say, I could use a little bit more of that in my life. But again, when are you going to experience this? When you die and go to heaven? Or now? My good shepherd has made available to me, and yours to you as well, this kind of life. And it's what we've been reading in Matthew chapter 11. Now notice the second phrase. He leads me, back to verse 2, He leads me beside the still waters. Now the three words, beside the still here, come from the Hebrew word which describes a rest or a resting place. Wow. So this is talking about that rest that we see over in the 95th Psalm, verse 11, when he talks about the rest that remains for the people of God to enter into. This is what the writers of Hebrews declared over and over in the epistle to the Hebrews, of talking about that there remains a rest for us to be able to enter into, to where we cease from our labors. Now, if you go to many seminaries, you'll find out that they think that the rest that is being described in the Scriptures is talking about heaven. But again, this isn't what it's talking about, because the writers of Hebrews tell us this is something we can enter into now. Glory be to Jesus. In this life, glory to God. I would call it a Sabbath. A Sabbath. Now, there are many views out there about what was instituted in the law called the Sabbath. And I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount of time emphasizing this morning. I've spent weeks on this before in yesteryears at this church, of talking about how a Christian is not obligated to live under the law anymore. Right? That we're not supposed to be keeping all these things, and if you don't keep it, you fall out of the good graces of God. That's called legalism, and that's what Jesus came to free us from. But what we have learned is that with all of these things that the law said was ours, Jesus came and fulfilled the righteous requirement of that law, so that He lived and breathed as the fulfillment of of all of those things. So many of those things we see in the law are simply types and shadows that point us towards things that are spiritually significant. And that's what I believe the Sabbath did for us. The Sabbath was instituted why? Because in creation, in the beginning of Genesis, the Lord spends 6 days creating the heavens and the earth and all that's within them. And then on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Now let me ask you a question. Did God rest because he became fatigued? Because he got worn out from all the work? Because it put a lot of strain on him, you know, to create all these things? No, the resting that he did, I like this visual. It's like the rest that an artist would enter into when he or she is painting a picture and spends maybe 6 days putting together this masterpiece. And then on the seventh day, after everything's done, this artist sits back on their stool, puts the brush in their mouth, and observes what has been done. That's not a rest because they're tired and that they're fatigued. That's a rest because it's done and the work is completed. And that's what our God did, is that on the seventh day, he sat back and said, "It's very good." Now, all of those things paint something for us. They paint a great picture for us. And you know what it is? They illustrate to us what Jesus did when he hung on that cross. And what were his last words? "It is finished." What was he saying? He's saying that everything that was needed for the new creation to be provided for everyone who would call on the name of the Lord, that work is done. So the Sabbath paints a different picture to us. Jesus is the fulfillment of it, because what he's doing is he was telling us through his work on the cross that it is all complete. There's nothing you or I can do to add to the work of salvation. So we just need to be what? Resting in what Jesus did. So that's what the Sabbath is it not? It is us resting in the work of another. Amen. So that's what we're doing when it comes to the Sabbath. It is a rest that comes as a result of Jesus did it all. And therefore, I can remove all these burdens, these cares. I don't have to do this. And it's not just about your salvation either. It's about receiving his promises throughout this life. How many of you know it's a good revelation to get that the battle is not mine, but God's? So when it comes to receiving everything I need from God, I need to quit trying to be Mr. Fix-It and Holy Ghost Junior and try to help the Lord make sure all this gets done. Amen. You know how I prayed for today's service today? There was a lot we got going on today. I was responsible for putting communion together. I had a message. We're going to be praying over Brian here in a minute. All these different things are going on. And there's a lot of preparation that goes on to that. But guess how Pastor Trey prayed? I said, "It's not by my might, nor is it by our power. It's by the Spirit of the living God." It's the Holy Ghost is the one that builds the house. And what did he say? He said, "And if we try to build the house ourselves, we labor in vain." I would say we get stressed out. Amen. So what we're learning to do is dependence on God. God, you do the work. Jesus, you did everything to secure my salvation, and you've done everything to secure me getting to the other side so I experience everything you have for me. Somebody say hallelujah. So this is what's available. Amen. This is what we have for us. So that's what the Sabbath all typifies. However, even though the Sabbath is not something we're required to keep in order to maintain our salvation, how many of you know there's still a lot of good benefits to keeping certain things that are in the law? How many of you know it would probably not be a good idea for you and I, even though we can eat all the pork chops and bacon and crab and lobster we want now, how many of you know it wouldn't be a good idea to make that the primary form of your diet throughout your life? You're probably going to have some health problems if you do that. So I believe there's a lot of things, including the Sabbath, that are put in there as good guiding principles for how one ought to live to receive God's best. And again, I believe the Sabbath is one of those things. It is a great idea for each and every one of us to enter into that rest, to do what? To have a day a week where we rest. Now, I know some of us are workaholics. And some of us say, I just don't have enough time in the week to get everything done that I need to get done. But I'm here to tell you, your pastor gives you a very important piece of instruction. You need to make a day that you turn the switches off, that you put the phone away, and that you just learn to rest in His presence. It's a great idea. Amen? But how many of you know, when it comes to the Sabbath, there wasn't just the one day a week Sabbath that the Lord instituted. What else did He institute? A seventh year Sabbath. You remember that? So all these people that like to argue with you about, you got to keep the Sabbath, you got to keep the Sabbath. All right, that means for you, on the seventh year, you don't work at all. You quit your job, you go off and do all that. I don't see those people doing that. Because why? Religion and legalism does what's convenient for them and not necessarily what's the Lord saying to them. So what we need to understand, though, through that is there's different aspects to the Sabbath, and likewise there is to the practical principle and wisdom of how to walk in the rest of God. It's not just a good idea for you and I to have one day a week that we rest. It's also a good idea for us to have maybe a week in the year to go on vacation and rest. Now, y'all love this part of the message, don't you? Praise God, I left today. What did you learn today? What did Pastor Trey teach on? He told me I need to take a vacation this year, bless God. Amen. I do mean that. But listen to this. You need to have these periodic sabbatical, and this is what actually I put into place here at this church, because I come to find out when it comes to somebody that does something like what me or Pastor Robert does, guess what we have? We have the tendency to get stressed out even easier than other people out there, because not only are we carrying around our cares and the things that go on in our life, but we have very in tune knowledge to everything you guys are carrying, right? So it's easy to take on more than we should. So guess what we built into our schedules? Sabbaticals. Which is what? It's not a time where we get away with our family and do fun things. It's a time where we get away and spend time with the Lord, whether for a day, whether for a weekend, maybe for a week, right? So that why? We can stay fueled up and charged up. But I believe every believer needs this. You know, like last year, we have built into something that we can do here. It's called Pastor's Continuing Education, which would be anything that we would go do that would actually help build us up and educate us more and so forth, so that we can be better prepared to minister to you. And in the first 4.5 years I was pastoring this church, I didn't do anything like that. Except for a little couple of days I'd get off by myself. But in terms of going and actually sitting under somebody else, last year I did this. I went to a minister's conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. And guess what I got a revelation of while I was there? How much I needed it. I would have told you I didn't need it that much before I went. And that's what many of us think. Well, I don't really need to take that day a week, Pastor. I don't really need that. You don't know what you need until usually everything's boiling up and that whistle's going off, you know, on your stove. You don't usually know that you're stressed out and you're carrying cares until it's too late. So what does wisdom do? It builds things into its lifestyle to make sure I never get to the place of burnout. Amen? See, burnout, and you've heard this before in ministry and in other things. People will talk about they got burnout and this and that. How many of you know that wasn't God's plan for them? And how many of you know they probably did something wrong that got them into the place where they got burnout? The Lord is not going to be driving you to make you do that stuff. So wisdom prepares and knows what I need to do now to prevent those feelings that will come later. Amen? And some of us need a little element of that wisdom in our life. But listen to this. Not only is there an annual vacation you should take, not only is there a day of rest you need every week, but I personally believe it's wise to have a sabbatical every day. Which is what? Exactly what Shannon was saying this morning. It might be to start your day off 30 minutes with the Lord or something like that, to where you're spending time just resting, not problem solving, not trying to fix things, but Lord, I want to get yoked up together with you today. I'm making you my priority today. And you just worship him, you just praise him, you read and meditate on the word of God, and you give him a piece of your day to rest. How many of you know that just is a good idea for us to implement these things in our life, and it'll keep you in a steady place to where you don't burn the candle at both ends and make mistakes that'll get you burnt out in your life. But finally, go to Isaiah 28. I could spend a lot of time talking about all the things that we could be doing during these times to enter into his rest, but I just want to emphasize one of them to you this morning, because the Bible did. In talking about entering into his rest, it tells us there's one specific thing that a Christian, that a believer, can do and implement in their life during these times they're spending time with God that will keep you in the place and position of rest. And it's called praying in tongues. Oh, I'll tell you, the First Church of the Frozen Chosen down the road doesn't like to talk about this. But we are unashamed Pentecostals here at this church and believe in the blood of Jesus, sin, and tongues. Ha! I just like to get right in, you know, I'm not tiptoeing around this stuff. We believe in this stuff here, amen, because the Bible talks about it. Amen? And we emphasize what the Lord says. Isaiah 28, look at verses 11 through 12. Praise be unto God. This is one of the, there's probably like two passages of Scripture that I've ever found in the Old Testament that forecast this wonderful gift of the Spirit that we have available to us. And that's interesting to me that there's not a tremendous amount in the Old Testament about it, but this is one of the big ones. The Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said," this what? These stammering lips and this unknown tongue, "this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. And boy, I love how he put that last phrase right there, because how many people in the church today walk in the fulfillment of that truth right there? Yet they would not hear. This right here, I'm telling you, is one of the most vital keys to me personally learning to walk in peace and rest. When I get stressed out, and when things are being added to me, and this temptation to get weary and fatigue comes on me, if I'll just separate myself and pray in an unknown tongue, not letting my mind, because here's the thing about tongues, your mind can still go out there and fix and problem solve while you're praying in tongues. Because why? It's your spirit praying. So your mind's unfruitful, meaning your mind can be fruitful doing something else. So you got to give your attention to the Lord while you're doing this. However, I've learned this is what's so awesome about it. You can be busy and still pray in tongues. How many of you have ever learned you can pray in tongues while you're washing the dishes? You can pray in tongues while you're driving down the road. You can pray in tongues while you're doing something else. I can pray in tongues while I read. And the only thing that's distracting to me about that is my own mouth. It's kind of, oh, blah, 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 stop talking so loud so I can read. Amen. But there is a promise. The Bible talks about how we edify ourselves, build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Well, Isaiah is telling us here, one of the ways you build yourself up is that you enter into his rest. And there's a place of peace and tranquility to where when you come out of that time, and I'm not talking about praying in tongues for 5 minutes. I know many of you. And many of you are going to probably have to invest at least 30 plus minutes before your mind will get out of the way. And you just pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And then you come out of it, and there's just a peace. There's a tranquility. I'm just in the flow. I call it the Holy Ghost escalator. Don't you love escalators? Oh, man, I love places that got escalators because you just sit there and you just propped up and it's doing the work. I heard this comedian say this one time. He said, I like escalators. When they break, there is no inconvenience. They just turn into stairs. Amen. You know, because why? When you're on there, stairs can require some work. But when I get on this Holy Ghost escalator, He's doing the work. How many of you know that? He's just taking me along. And I'll tell you, man, I spend that time doing that, and then I'm in a position to hear from God better. I don't waste as much time. I'm entering into a rest that the Holy Spirit causes me to enter into, to where I'm being more productive. Things are just working out. I'm hearing from the Lord better. And I've got a tranquility in my soul that's just beautiful. Glory be to Jesus. So all these different Sabbaths, whether it's a daily one, whether it's a weekly one, whether it's an annual one, are good. But listen, all the rest of the time where you might be occupied with things, pray in tongues, glory to God, and utilize those times. Don't waste time in your life to where if you drive for a living, and I got a 45-minute drive. I mean, people just waste their time. I'm like, man, praise God, I'd love to be a truck driver. You know why? I could pray in tongues for like 8 hours every day. Woo! That would be awesome. But so many people, they're just wasting their time in what they're doing, and they're not utilizing it. And that's why they live stressed out, uneasy lives. So these are just things, wisdom aspects that you can implement into your life so that you're able to enter into the rest, that you can find it. Find it. Purposefully and deliberately press into it and get into that place to where I'm entering into a supernatural peace that passes all understanding. Glory, glory, glory. Well, I hope you got something out of that today. Amen, amen, amen.